Well, let's take our Bible book of Micah, chapter 2, and chapter 2, we finished chapter 1 last Thursday, the last Thursday rather, and let's read verses 1, 2, and 3. I call it Devising and Working Evil. That's what we title it. Let's begin with verse 1. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields, and take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which he shall not remove their necks, neither shall he go hardly, for this time is evil. Alright, Micah is writing to Judah, the southern tribe, that also includes Israel many times, and what does the word woe mean in verse 1? Micah 2, verse 1. What does that word mean? Woe.
Isn't that a very, very strong warning?
Very strong warning. Be careful. It's not like to stop a horse. Woe.
No.
But it means a very fearful warning. Be careful. It's a caution, just like the
danger.
Danger, that's right. Anna?
I have a note here from Mr. Winograd.
Good.
Three people are saved through the ministry of our church last Sunday. North Point Baptist, number one, Tenure Kylie. Number two, Samuel Todd. Three, wife Tara. Kylie is in the hospital. Todd is in the hospital. Both situations are very serious. Prayers for them. Thank you. In Christ, Mr. Winograd.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate that. Questions at BFTBC.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or give us an email. So woe, just like when the flashing lights of a railroad train as you get the crossing come and then the brakes go down. See, that's a warning. Woe, be careful, there's danger. Now, what is the woe pronounced upon, verse 1, that Micah, the author here, the prophet, says? What's the woe about?
The ones that devise iniquity.
To devise iniquity. What does it mean to devise?
Imagine.
Imagine, create, think about, plan on. Iniquity.
Sin.
Sin of all kinds, see. Now, do some people still devise iniquity?
Constantly.
Constantly. Make up their mind. What can I do that's bad, bad, bad? The worst thing possible. They just devise it, make it up. And then, what do they do after they make it up in verse 1?
Practice it.
Practice it. Work evil. Upon their beds. Now, in other words, even while they're still in bed, before they even got up yet, they're thinking what they can do to be evil.
Like the leaders.
Like the leaders. Well, that's around you. That's those kind of leaders around Asia. We've got all kinds of problems, but work evil. So, what is the working out after you devise it, you work it? My father-in-law was a Stanley Home Product salesman for many years, all his life, actually. Before that, he was with Ford Crushers. Very successful, and he had
the
manager of the Family Home Products at the end, and quite a few years, in fact. And then he said there's 10 rules for success in selling or anything else. The first two, plan your work. The last eight, work your plan. And so the last eight are more important than the first two. Plan your work, but work your plan. So these people devise it, and they work their plan. They work evil. Plan their best. Then when the morning is light, what do they do then?
They practice.
Practice. So, devising, working, and then practicing. Why did they practice it in verse 1? Power in their hand. In other words, they're able to do it, so they just do it.
They're able to do it, so they do it.
They do it. It's a sad thing, see? Now, many people, how many people have both the flesh and the spirit in their bodies?
Only the saved.
Only the saved. Only the saved, born again Christians, have the spirit and the flesh. What about those that are not saved, not Christians? What do they have?
They have only evil.
Only evil, only the flesh. And the flesh is what's defined by God. Can the flesh save anybody? Mm-hmm. Now, is the flesh good and wonderful? Now, some people can make up as if they're kind of nice, like the Pharisees, they just have the flesh, but they can make an appearance, an outward appearance, but their heart is evil. And so, in other words, some have said this. Some unsaved people live lives that are better lived externally than some of the saved people.
No, they don't.
What do you mean by that?
They think they're enjoying their life, but they don't realize they're living an illusion.
All right. But what does that mean, though? Anathema?
Sometimes they have better works than believers.
Have some better works. In other words, they seem to outside, they seem to be doing better. Maybe they're more kind. You know. But does kindness say that way?
No.
God by works of righteousness will be done by his mercy, he said. But these practice evils in the power of the hand. What do they do in verse 2, these evil people?
They covet.
What does covet mean?
What someone else has.
Is that one of the commandments in Exodus 5, in Deuteronomy 5? Thou shalt not covet. A list of things. A neighbor's wife, the neighbor's house, the neighbor's servant. Yvonne?
I think when you covet, that means you'll do anything to get it, almost.
Well, when David saw that woman bathing herself, Bathsheba, he must have coveted, then he committed adultery with that woman.
He did everything to get her.
Everything possible, called her up there, of course. She came because she was subservient to the king, but so there's two different ways of looking at Bathsheba, of course. Some said, well, she could have remained in there and been injured or hurt or punished or put in prison because she refused the king, but there's two different ways. But the coveting desires something that they don't have. Fields. Why do you think they want fields?
For crops.
For crops? Is anybody in the Old Testament want to cover the fields?
Ahab.
Yeah. Ahab. What did he want?
Naboth's
vineyard. Mm-hmm. Well, did Naboth want to sell it to him and give it to him?
No.
Why didn't he want to give it to the king? The inheritance is part of his own family. And so did he finally get it?
Yes.
How did he get it?
Jezebel's idea.
Who is Jezebel?
What's
that?
He was just going to pout.
He's going to pout about it and cry about it and whine like a stuck pig or something. I guess not stuck pig.
Like some of us do
sometimes. Like some of us do sometimes. We pout and so on. So what was the plan of Jezebel? To get this coveted field of Ahab?
He made him look bad and told him they were blaspheming God, I believe.
Oh, what did he do? Like that part. What plan? Remember the plan?
She wrote letters.
She wrote letters.
And then find them where
they had signature. What did she want to get?
The vineyard.
The vineyard, but what was her plan, remember?
Get him out of the way.
Yes. She had to have some witnesses that said a very bad thing. So finally she got two, I believe, witnesses to say that he blasphemed the king, blasphemed God, and very terrible. So what did they do when they heard that?
Killed him.
They killed him. And then the field was Ahab's. So covetousness will get you into a lot of trouble, but they coveted the field so they could plant them and take off from somebody else that didn't belong to them. They just wanted more devising. Well, they're devising iniquity on their beds, maybe. They're working evil. Questions at bftpc.org if you have a comment on that, or 856-261-9018. And when they covet the fields of virtue, what did they do after the coveting?
Take them by violence.
What is violence? What is it?
Like what Jezebel did.
This warlike.
All right.
Yeah.
Murder maybe? No matter what it is.
Robbery.
What is it?
Fighting.
There's a man, I just saw an email that came to my desk just tonight. The man who is a senator or congressman, I don't remember which. He's against all gun legislation. He doesn't let everybody have guns, just the outlaws have guns. So, but lo and behold, he had one himself. When a couple of prisoners or a couple of people invaded his home, he shot them. So he's quite a hypocrite. He doesn't let anybody else have guns, but he's got one to protect himself. But anyway, violence. Could be they came into the house and just beat them up with swords in those days or spears and just took over his house, no matter what, by violence and houses. Not only the fields, but also the houses. The fields they took over, and the houses take them away. And so they oppress a man in this house. What does oppress mean? Oppress. Push down, all right? Push down and.
Emotionally down.
Vex
them.
Vex them. That's right. Vex them and push them away and just to harm them somewhere. Man and his house. And even a man and his heritage. Now, what is a heritage?
Inheritance, what you inherit.
So what you inherit, and does the saved person have any inheritance?
Yes.
What does the saved person have?
Eternal life.
Hope in heaven.
Accepted in the beloved.
We have a heritage.
Maybe rewards.
Maybe rewards.
Children of God.
All right, your children of God. I had a man call me today, and he said he ordered some Bibles. one maroon or red, and I guess it was maroon and burgundy, and then one black on his little daughter. And he said, have you heard of the Heritage Baptist Church? Well, the church was named by Heritage, isn't it? Well, the different Heritage, he didn't know where it was, what city, what town, and so on. But a Heritage we have.
Did he ask if he heard of it and he didn't know where it was?
No, he just heard of it and he didn't know what kind of a church it was. I don't know why he asked me that.
I wonder.
Well, he didn't know that either. So.
I know. Isn't Clark Summit, isn't there a Heritage?
There's all kinds of there. Heritage right over here in Cherry Hill, isn't there? Heritage Baptist Church.
I heard of it.
If we don't know where it is, how are we supposed to know? I mean,
Apparently the man probably thought, his name was Harry, apparently probably thought that there's just one Heritage Baptist Church in the whole United States. What kind of?
There's a Heritage Baptist Church in Greenville, and there's some. I mean, it's not a denomination.
No.
Nobody's just asking if it's
a denomination. No, it's just a special church. He heard about it.
What state it was in, he asked you?
A special church?
Well, that's just when you wondered about the church. I had heard about this Heritage Baptist Church, if there's only one United States.
It's not a denomination.
It was on the order line, so I didn't want to take too much time. It was just before the service.
What state was he from?
I don't remember the state. Arkansas, I think it was. Or Kansas, maybe it was Kansas.
The church was in Kansas?
I don't know. Am I the one?
No, I'm scratching my head.
Oh, it's scratching your head. All right, so, you said it now. It says in, yeah.
This is like eminent domain now.
Yeah, that's right, eminent domain now, isn't it? Now, there's just recent things about the eminent domain. Mine just came on the TV yesterday, this last week. A man's lands. They wanted to take by eminent domain highway through, and he had so many millions of dollars offered to him, 60 million or whatever, so the government was going to pay him at least less than half of that. Mm-hmm. So he just take it over. Even though Mr. Bezek didn't agree with it when we announced it one Sunday morning several weeks ago, the part of the Chinese that we've loaned this millions and billions and billions of money to, they want to cash into those things. If we don't pay them back, they can take our lands, they can take anything, and by eminent domain and their own different definition of it. See, our eminent domain, of course, he's a lawyer, and Mr. Bezos said, oh, it's got to be paid for. That's our eminent domain. But China's special eminent domain, they can come over and take it over without paying a dime. See? So this is a serious business. But the taking of the heritage, it says in the Psalms, is that we have a goodly heritage. Remember, David said that we have a goodly heritage. If we're saved, we have a tremendous. If God is our Father, if we're saved, and we're. Yes?
No, I just.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. Now, notice in verse 3. Therefore, what is the Lord saying about this family that takes people's property?
He's against this family.
Yet he devises an evil himself, see. This family is taking over people's houses and lands and by violence, hitting them, smashing them, maybe knocking them around, maybe killing them, against this family. Is that a good thing to have a Lord against you?
No.
See, people can be against you, even before, when the Lord is against us, we've got a tremendous, mighty enemy, don't we? I looked at one of the film somebody sends it on email, and it was about the creation of the world and about the thousands and thousands and millions of stars in our galaxy, and then the thousands and thousands of galaxies with millions of stars. Just think of the creator, the power of God that just put those all out there. And a man who doesn't even believe in God, how in the world does he expect that thing all happens? And then they said something about the sun, and they said something about the earth, and I don't remember the figures, but so many Earths in the sun. I don't know how many Earths in the sun. See, it's amazing. 100, 200, just you put those all in the sun. It's a huge, huge thing. But the Lord is powerful, and he's got something against this family. Why devise an evil? Now, will they be able to escape that evil in verse 3?
No.
For mercy shall not remove the next. In other words, they're going to be caught up in it. Neither shall you go haughtily. What does that mean?
Proudly.
Quite as if everything's all right, and you're the king of the walk, you might say. And as they say, the cock of the rooster that's just roasting. For this time is evil. Is that true only there, or is it true today? We have an evil day, evil days, don't we? Evil days. And is it going to get less evil or more evil as the time approaches?
It's going to get more.
More evil. There'll be, what does it say in Scripture?
More than
wars and wars, what else? Perilous times will come, and not only deceiving and being deceived. I'm trying to think of those. The deceiving and being deceived. So evil children,
that's
right, against each other, fighting and battling, and so on and so forth. And so this is the time we're going to take care of these people. Now let's read verse 4, 5, and 6 together. In that day shall one take up a parable against you and lament with a doleful lamentation and say, we are utterly spoiled. He has changed this portion of my people. How hath he removed from me, turning away? He hath divided our fields. Therefore thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. Prophesy ye not, say they, to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy in them, but they shall not take shame. Find verse 4. In that day. What do you think that word first? Is that ever used before in Scripture? In that day.
The day when the evil comes to pass.
When the day the evil comes to pass.
The day of the Lord.
Sometimes it talks about the day of the Lord, depending on the context, and that special day. Probably this day when the evil comes up, one shall take up a parable against you. What is a parable?
A story.
A story. What kind of a story would it be?
Probably
a bad story in this case. Well, did the Lord Jesus have any parables?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why did he have parables?
People would not understand.
Okay, they wouldn't understand straight stuff, so they just had a story, see? A parable of
illustrating a point.
Illustrating a point. Earthly.
Not seeing, they would not. No, so that
hearing
that
might not hear
and
seeing may not see.
Or something
He told his disciples.
They might actually understand.
All right, Yvonne?
Sometimes he told parables to explain something. Other times, I guess he told parables to confuse or to keep it silent.
Keep it secret, son. Questions at bftbc.org.
Yeah,
you can email or 856-261-9018. Yes, ask.
They understood later.
All right. There was a parable of the sower. What was that parable about?
The
word of God. Word of God. The word of God. Sower. So it had different type of soil. What were the soils? How many soils were there?
Three.
Four was invited. The three or four?
Four.
Okay, let's see.
Four.
Okay, we're still. Let's go ahead and through the what's the first one that's happened?
The wayside.
The wayside. No roadside. Nothing. No earth. Second?
Stony
ground. That wouldn't do. What's the third?
Thorns.
Thorns. What's the fourth?
It was good ground.
So we got the four. So it was a parable. Did the Lord explain that? He told the parable to the multitudes, but did he ever explain that to his disciples?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. He told what the seed was. What was it? Word of God. He told what happened in the stony and the wayside and the thorny soil and the good soil. Some 30, some 60, some 94, 100. So the parable against you. That's again, that day shall one take up a parable. See, some maybe a prophet or someone just take up a story against you, these thieves, and lament with the doleful lamentation. What does lament mean?
Cry out.
Cry out and be sorrowful and doleful. What is doleful?
Real sad.
It's not dole, pineapple juice, is it? But doleful. That's very, very deep sorrow. And lamentation again is what? Verse 4. Crying out and very sorry and shouting and crying and being sad. And then they're going to say this. We are be utterly spoiled. What's spoiled mean?
Take it over.
Whatever it may be. Where they've stolen
rotted,
our...
Rotted, I guess.
What is it?
Rotted.
Spoiled could be rotten in the sense of like a food would spoil. This part of the spoiling is probably taking over something that's very important and been spoiled, I guess. And he hath changed the portion of my people. After removed from me, turning away, he hath divided our fields. And I talked probably about this same thief up here, or thieves, that have taken the houses and taken the land. And so there's a great lament, a parable. We'd be utterly spoiled, completely spoiled. Everything is stolen by violence.
Oh.
What?
Oh.
Nothing.
Oh, all right. All right.
You can't say anything without being called on. I'm tired.
Okay. Well, we're trying to, you know, bring everybody in. Questions at bscbc.org or simply call 856-2611-8. If you want to be young or old, that's all right, too. We're less really young. All right. And then verse number 5. Therefore, what does this mean, us around none that shall cast the cord by lot? What do you think that would mean?
Yeah.
What is a lot?
It's a gamble, like.
All right.
Choosing.
They drew lots for the Lord's robe, remember?
Yeah.
At the cross. And they drew, what is it?
That was how decisions were made.
How decisions were made.
Yes. They had to draw a lot for apostle.
For apostle, who would take the place of Judas.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Matthias and Justice, was it?
For Jonah.
For Jonah, I'm afraid they drew lots for Jonah. Who's going to catch him in the sea or stay on board?
To determine who was responsible for
the storm. Who's responsible for the storm. And so they're not cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord.
Maybe the cords were the things they chose, long cords, short cords.
Yes. It seems to me there's going to be a turning away from dividing our fields. In other words, those that have stolen will have none that will have any reward in the congregation of the Lord. In other words, apparently they're going to be snatched away from what they had, the fields that they've stolen. It seems like it's going to be a negative, not cast a cord. I guess that's a way of saying not have any reward or any prize or any possession. Huh?
Oh, I thought it meant, when you have different size papers and you know, and they all look the same and you pull it. I thought that's what the cord was, the cord that was part of the lot casting, but I don't know.
That's good, but it's...
I have no idea.
In other words, the kind of way he's divided our fields. Therefore, because he's divided his fields, he's not going to have any reward. He's going to have something coming that's bad as a result of the thievery from the fields. It seems like casting a cord by lot. In other words, he's not going to have any big possessions of himself. They're going to be taken away from him, apparently. Then in verse number 6, people are saying what to Michael or any prophet?
Prophesy ye not.
What does prophecy mean in the Old Testament? What was prophecy? What was Michael?
Foretelling.
Tells the future.
And also foretelling, telling beforehand, and speaking as a representative in the place of someone. And these people are saying, prophesy ye not. Why didn't they want to have anybody prophesy to them or tell them the truth?
They didn't
want to
hear it.
If it was a prophet was prophesying, if they had the words of the Lord, they didn't want to hear that. Prophesy ye not. They say to them that prophesy. In other words, there were apparently several prophets. Micah was there, maybe several others were there, and they didn't want anybody to prophesy or give them the word of the Lord. Is that true today that people don't want to hear the word of the Lord? Some people do, some people don't. In fact, they just can't stand anything like that. They just leave their places. If you try to tell them the word of the Lord, they just scramble for the exit. That's fine.
Sometimes people have their own ideas what some of the word of the Lord means, and they won't accept what it really means.
That's right. They have their own idea, and they make things up, and it does not come to pass. They shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. What would prophecy and shame relate to? Why? How would these two things relate to each other?
That they would not prophesy to them so that they would see their sin.
That's right. If the word of God was straight, the prophets were straight, and those sins would be pointed out, they'd be shameful. See, they didn't want to have the shame. They don't want anybody to tell them they're wrong and sinful. Like the woman that told my wife that she was against what my wife talked about in the Old Testament, where they were keep purity of race. The Shemites and the line could not marry with the Hamites, the black races, and so that intermarriage was wrong. Well, she said, well, maybe even today there's problems and so on. So one of these women wrote up there, and she was, a white woman living with a Negro person, committing fornication and sin, and she was all upset about intermarriage. Here she was worse than ever. She didn't want to hear anything.
A lot of people were upset over
that. A lot of people were upset. But anyway, so we're going to start right here. We'll pick this up. We're running next 1:30. But do you have any other comments or questions before we... close. We'll pick up verse 7 there next Thursday. Any comments or questions before we close? All right, if not, let's close then with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank thee that Micah was straight and true as a prophet of thee, and he told the facts of the case. We ask thee, Lord, that people that devise evil upon their beds and work it out and practice it may not stir themselves up in so evil as people all around us do. Help us to flee evil and depart from evil, that we may love the Lord Jesus Christ and serve him acceptably. Go with us and bless our ministry in the Lord's day. Give us a good service and guide us and each one gathered here. Give a safe journey as they travel home. And may our Savior be exalted in their lives. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you for coming.